Morgans, AM, your pre-market briefing.
US equity markets retreated to cap their worst September performance since 2008 and logging their third straight quarterly decline as assertive Federal Reserve action pushed Treasury yields and the dollar higher. Dow dropped 500 points or 1.7% on Friday to 28,726, settling below 29,000 for the first time since November 2020. Nike dropping 12.8%. That was following the release of the athletic apparel giant's fiscal first quarter result after the close of last Thursday's session that raised concerns about margins and inventory levels. Broader S&P 500 down 1.5%. Utilities, information technology, consumer discretionary, consumer staples and communication services all falling over 1.5%. Real estate up 1%, the only primary sector to advance on Friday. At least 53 stocks in the S&P 500 hit new 52-week lows. Among them was Nike. Tesla down 1.1% on Friday, did report delivery figures for the third quarter on Sunday, producing 365,923 cars and delivering 343,830 vehicles. That third quarter delivery number was a big jump from the second quarter and also marked a new record, but it did fall short of consensus forecasts for about 358,000. Tesla slated to report their third quarter results on the 19th of October. NASDAQ down 1.5% on Friday, looking at its lowest settlement since the 29th of July 2020 at around 10,576. Apple, among the notable decliners, down 3%. Small cap Russell 2000 index with a 0.6% fall. For the week, the Dow is down 2.9%. S&P 500 also down 2.9% and the NASDAQ down 2.7%. For the month, the Dow is down 8.8%. S&P 500 shed 9.3%. That's its worst monthly decline since March 2020. All 11 primary sectors retreated in September, including five that logged double-digit declines, namely real estate, communication services, information technology, utilities and industrials. Healthcare, the best performer on a relative basis in September, down just 2.7%. FedEx Corp, the worst performer in the S&P 500 in September, down 29.6%. That, of course, was after the logistics company issued a profit warning on the 16th of September. 20 S&P 500 constituents dropping more than 20% last month. Notable among those was Ford, Adobe, Carnival, CarMax, Advanced Micro Devices, Boeing and Nike. NASDAQ down 10.5% last month. For the third quarter, Dow dropped 6.7%. That's its third straight losing quarter, the first time it's recorded that since 2015. S&P 500 down 5.3% in the third quarter and the NASDAQ down 4.1%. First time that the S&P 500 and NASDAQ have recorded three consecutive quarterly losses since 2009. Fourth quarter is historically the best period for returns for the major US stock indices, S&P 500 averaging a 4.2% gain since 1949. That's according to data from the Stock Traders Almanac. And US corporate earnings on Friday, Carnival Corp tumbling 23.25% to a fresh post-pandemic low. That was after the cruise operator reported a wider than expected fiscal third quarter loss per share. Wall Street analysts have lowered their third quarter earnings estimates more than normal in the past 3 months ahead of the earnings season ramps up next week. This is according to FactSet data. Estimated earnings growth rate for all the companies in the S&P 500 index now stands at 2.9%. If that turns out to be the actual number for the quarter, it'll prove to be the slowest rate of expansion since the third quarter of 2020, when earnings fell 5.7%. When the second quarter ended on the 30th of June, third quarter earnings were forecast to expand by 9.8%, so quite the contraction in forecasts. On the economic data front, the personal consumption expenditures index rose a mild 0.3% in August and slowing to 6.2% on an annual basis. The core PCE measure, which is the first preferred measure of inflation, rose 0.6% in August. That was above economists' forecast for a 0.5% gain. The core rate of inflation in the past 12 months has climbed to 4.9%, up from 4.6% in July. That was above economists' forecast for an unchanged reading. And of course, that figure touched a 40-year high of 5.3% in February. Construction and media sectors are up over 2%, led European bosses higher on the last trading day of September. That lifted the pan-European Stock 600 index up 1.3%. However, the benchmark European index still logged its worst monthly performance since June, down 7.9% and fell over 6% in the third quarter. Germany's DAX gaining 1.2% on Friday night. France's CAC with a 1.5% rally. In broader stock news, the Financial Times reported that senior Credit Suisse Group executives spent the weekend reassuring large clients, counterparties and investors about the Swiss bank's liquidity and capital position. That was in response to concerns raised about its financial strength. Executives reportedly hitting the phones after spreads on the bank's credit default swaps rose sharply on Friday. That latest report, of course, follows an FT report earlier last week that the Credit Suisse is planning to split the investment bank into three and resurrect a bad bank holding pen for high-risk assets and business units earmarked for disposal. Credit Suisse report their third quarter result on the 27th of October. On the economic data front, flash reading of the Eurozone, CPI hit a fresh record high in September, increasing 10% on the month earlier. And again, it was all about energy driving that higher print. London FTSE 100 edged 0.2% higher on Friday. Home builders rebounding after some steep losses earlier in the week. Also, S&P Global Ratings on Friday downgrading its outlook on the UK's AA sovereign credit rating to negative from stable, citing concerns about the country's fiscal outlook. UK Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng is slated to address the Tory Party conference in Birmingham tonight, and then Prime Minister Liz Truss will speak at the closing of that conference on Wednesday night. UK economic data front on Friday, GDP edged 0.2% higher in the second quarter. That was versus an initial estimate for a 0.1% contraction. In terms of results in the UK this week, Tesco, the UK's largest retailer, reports their half-year results on Wednesday night. Base metals ended the week in a mixed fashion. Copper added 0.2% to be trading just shy of $3.43 a pound. Ended the quarter with a loss of about 8%. Zinc was up 1.3% on Friday, lifted by fears of further smelter closures owing to higher power prices. Nickel, however, dropped 5.6% and aluminium was down 1.6%. China's National Bureau of Statistics released their official PMI data on Friday. Manufacturing PMI unexpectedly expanding to 50.1 from 49.4 in August. That was better than economists' forecast for 49.1. It was also China's National Day on Saturday, and that, of course, marks the beginning of the Golden Week holiday that sees markets in China closed all of this week. Hong Kong Stock Exchange is also closed on Tuesday. Burkina Faso saw their second military coup this year on Friday. Benchmark spot iron ore inched 10 cents higher to $95.95 a metric tonne, down 3.7% for the week and down almost 5% in September. Gold futures added $3.40 to $1,672.30 an ounce, up about 1% for the week, but logging a sixth straight monthly decline, down 3.1% in December, also down 7.5% for the third quarter. Concerns surrounding the demand outlook continue to weigh on oil prices. Sharp declines for the month and quarter for the benchmark oil prices. WTI down $1.57 or 2.1% to $79.49 on a barrel on Friday, pairing their weekly gain to about 1%. However, the benchmark contract declined 11% for the month and almost 25% for the quarter. The November contract, which Brent contract that is, that expired on conclusion of Friday's session, lost 53 cents to $87.96, logging a 2.2% weekly gain, but down 8.9% in September and down over 23% for the quarter. Both WTI and Brent falling to 8-month lows earlier last week. Traders' attention now turns to the meeting between the Organisation of Petroleum Exporting Countries and their key producing allies on Wednesday. A lot of reports that the group will discuss a production cut that could total more than 1 million barrels per day. If that comes to fruition, it would be by the far the largest since early in the pandemic, and equivalent to about or more than 1% of global supplies. US 10-year Treasury yields rose 5.5 basis points to 3.8%, did break above 4% last Wednesday for the first time since 2010. Benchmarks yield up 83 basis points for the third quarter. The two-year note yield was up 3.8 basis points on Friday to 4.21%, up 128 points for the quarter, and is now up 409 basis points over the last seven quarters. Week ahead this week sees interest rate decisions from the Reserve Bank on Tuesday, the Reserve Bank of Australia, that is, on Tuesday, Reserve Bank of New Zealand and National Bank of Poland on Wednesday. Perhaps the key release on the economic front is the non-farm payrolls report in the US for September on Friday. Aussie dollar buying a tick over 64 US cents.
This is general advice only, and we have not considered your needs or objectives.